Kendi and Ravo podcast, sponsored by Maves and the Garavo Bar.
I'm very sorry for your loss.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't haven't said anything to you since. I was going to text you on the day.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, it's too soon. It's too
oh,
soon.
Oh, you were going to go. I was going to go jibing, really.
Like. Yeah, no, not even jibing. Just very sorry. I found the comments of the Galway, the guy who's in charge of the players. What's his name?
The man who's in charge of the players. Galway players.
Yeah, the fellow that tells them. Yeah, that's the book.
Manager.
The manager.
The banished doer.
Yeah, he was interesting to listen to afterwards. Yeah.
Paul could say anything.
Yeah.
What do you want about that he said where they're devastated?
The lads are devastated and I don't know what happened.
But that's great though, because too often, especially in sports nowadays, it's very washed with nothing.
Or
with,
they blame the ref for so, one of the
no,
lads.
But,
or,
no, but they won't even do that though. What'll happen is you'll be interviewing someone, win or lose.
Hmm.
How'd you get on? I thought it was a tough game. Now, just fair play to the other team, and we got through it.
That's it.
And come here, like, it got emotional there towards the end of 15 minutes. Ah, look, you know yourself now, good game. And you're like, they're not saying anything.
Yeah.
So they said to Paul Joyce, what's the mood like?
Yeah.
He said, everyone is devastated. Like this. He said, this one is hard to take.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
I honestly thought you'd take it. I seen your man kicking the ball,
stop.
And the ball went up, and then it hit the big wooden post thing. That
Jeez, Ray, your analysis is unbelievable.
Ah, look at I've studied for days about this.
Your man was kicking the ball.
The ball, and it was a game of sport, and all of a sudden it hit the wood, and it bounced back, and some fella waved frantically at the side, wearing a scientist jacket.
Yeah, well, there is four scientists at every GAA game.
I always wondered about the foresight or the doctors.
Yeah, they're very, very important.
Scientists or doctors?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The one thing I'd say about the game is...
Imagine if it was doctors.
I said to Brendan about 2 years ago when Galway played Armagh, I was like, geez, of all the teams playing football in Ulster, Armagh are playing, they have the best players.
Yes.
I was like, they're the best footballing players, you know? And they're always dangerous. And I thought that they deserved to win. No. Genuinely.
Yeah, sorry. Just when you said people from Armagh were dangerous.
People from Armagh are very dangerous.
Yeah, just going, now that's been, history has taught us some things. Yeah.
but like at the same time, and Galway, geez, the fair kick to the way now at times, you know.
Well, I actually seen at the very end, because I only tuned in for the last 6 minutes.
Oh,
which
good.
Was the extra time.
Well, actually, that's probably the right time to be tuning into GAA nowadays, to be honest.
I heard from a very close relative that the hurling was much better.
Well, the hurling is much more exciting.
Yeah.
Now, hurling has its problems too now.
Oh.
Hurling is a little bit like golf now. There's an argument in golf nowadays for changing the technology of the golf ball because it's been driven too far.
Oh, okay.
That is also now an argument.
Switch it out for tennis balls.
Maybe. Or just, like you have to hit like a ping pong ball in golf instead.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that. So hurling now has become so good. The hurlers have become so good that... So there's a ball being flicked out to a wing back, and he's hammering it over from 70 yards.
Ah,
you know,
yeah.
And so there's a little bit of that creeping into hurling now, but at the same time,
that's
it
why
is
the big scores that you do see.
There's huge scores in hurling now. Like the players are just outrageously good.
Yeah.
Whereas football has kind of gone the other way. It's not really that the players are getting better, they're getting far more athletic, and they're able to play basketball on a pitch 50 times the size of a basketball court.
Yeah.
So, like, and luckily there's looking like there's going to be changes in the GAA. They're all everybody is guilty of this. All the teams are guilty of this. There was great signs at the start of the GAA championship that there was a bit of crack going on and teams were playing.
Yeah.
Sligo played Galway and just played them. Just said, let's fucking leave boys up. Let's play them straight up. And it was a great game to watch.
Yeah.
And that kept going for a while, and then it filtered out then when the fear of losing kicked in.
Mm.
And all of a sudden the blanket defences were just back. Yeah.
That's why I was always so much crack playing soccer. I never cared about winning.
No.
But you all took it way too seriously. I was laughing and joking and skipping over balls.
Well, I'm not saying we should all go for the Ray technique now of just laughing and joking the way. Because if I saw that, I would have been down pitch side myself roaring at them.
Yeah.
But it ends up, and like, you know, if you take Galway, for instance, they would have tried to keep two or three men up and then realise it's not working, and then they'd be afraid to kick a ball in on top of them, because if you lose it, then it's so detrimental losing the ball.
I felt awful bad for the lad that missed it at the end. I'd say that's going to be a tough week for him.
To be honest, I wouldn't be putting a huge amount of blame on him.
No,
though.
Obviously not.
Galway held the ball for about 4 minutes, and then Dylan McHugh stood up and said, if no one else is going to have a crack,
I better have a crack. Because it's awful fear.
Oh, there's a huge fear.
You get the ball and you're going, right, not me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the truth. And everyone else was going, not me. And he said, I'll do it. If someone has to do it, I'll do it.
And he nearly did it.
And I mean, Armagh have won now, so he's probably not. They haven't decided player of the year yet, have they, Brendan?
No.
So he's probably not going to get player of the year, but Dylan McHugh was the player of the year right up until the final. Everyone was saying, Dylan McHugh is going to win player of the year. Like, it was like there was another couple of players.
He lost a lot. He lost the All Ireland and player of the year. Yeah,
It one boost of the ball. Yeah. No, but it doesn't. It's there was a couple of other players on the Galway team that really. It didn't have their best games. Like, you know, there was a lot of balls left short and dropped wide.
Did you enjoy your day out in Dublin?
No, it was class. That's what I was going to get to. So, but me and you had a conversation in a van before about why I watch so much sport. And I was saying, well, that's why though, because it's the realest that life gets.
Yeah.
Like if you're watching television or whatever, you know.
That and Love Island. Like it's just different strokes for different folks. Congratulations, by the way, to Josh and Mimi. Delighted for them.
I think, I don't know what time we started recording, we're about 6 minutes in. And it's over. It's over. I can't believe
it. It's all game of sport.
I can't believe it. But I'll tell you one thing. The great thing about the day, and we will go on to Love Island because fair
is
fair.
No, that's all I wanted to say.
No, but whatever you're going on at Love Island, remind me to start looking
at it.
It was a tight final.
Yeah, it was touch and go there for a minute.
15 men behind.
And Nicole nearly had it.
Nicole behind the 15 men behind the balls.
Go on.
The great thing is, like, myself and my mother and my sister went up to the All-Ireland final in 1998.
Your mother flew home for it, didn't she?
My mother, she did fly home for it, like at some stage. Yeah.
Your sister flew home for it.
She, when Galway bet Donegal, 10 minutes later, she bought a flight home to...
That's Operation Green Card for you.
So there you go. So she came home, 1998, 2001.
Yeah.
Home again. We still got to go up and see a game, like, and that's the highs and lows of sport. And this is the great thing about it. We went up and had a great day driving up to Dublin, putting sandwiches in the boot again, like we were kids.
Yeah.
And you come home disappointed, and it's a long road home, and you can't get out of Dublin, and you're 5 hours in the car, and you're going, oh, Jesus Christ, I can't. And then you drop them home, and then you drive back to Sligo, you're wrecked, you have to be on the road from 8 o'clock. Galway lost, Armagh delighted.
Please tell me there's a silver lining coming.
There is
here.
A silver lining coming because. That's the laws of sport, like.
That's
you know?
Right, yeah.
So, and then there was elation then and the cars going all the way back up to Armagh.
Yeah.
And fans deservedly just going, what a great day. They haven't won it since 2002.
Yeah.
And then the next night then, like this is sport in a nutshell. This is why you should watch sport. Because yesterday then, which was Monday, you're sitting at home. We just put Ali down to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Nicola are sitting in the kitchen. Are sitting in the living room and we're watching the Olympics.
Yeah.
And we'll get on to the Olympics in a minute because, fuck me, it's brilliant. But Mona McSharry from County Sligo, who me and Brendan have met on multiple occasions, we've done content with her and stuff, swimming stuff, and she goes out and wins a bronze medal.
She did.
Like, in the swimming, and she's in floods of tears. RTE interviewer after, the most realist interview you'll ever get from a sports star, where she just can't believe what she's done. And me and Nicola are nearly in tears as well.
Oh.
And that sport, like,
yeah,
the Sunday was the lowest you can ever feel.
And then you were
and
back
And then
up.
Last night, it's elation again going, how unbelievable is this
Fair
to happen?
Fair play,
that is, Mona McSharry, lads.
Yeah.
What a woman she is. My God above. And when I met her in the pool, like, as in we had her in the pool, me and Brendan, to cut content with him for the Sligo show.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you think, looking at the Olympics, because my favourite thing about the Olympics is we all become experts.
Yes,
like,
of course.
I found, Nicola said to me the other day, I'm not so sure, that he kind of, his ankles weren't together on that pike. We were watching the diving. I was like, Nicola, what is going on? Like, we started watching this 15 minutes ago and you're on about your man's hips being, I don't know, he turned his hips there, you can see it there.
Yeah.
I was watching a woman doing the pommel horse vault. Or whatever.
The pommel horse.
Whatever it is where they jump over the yoke, they bounce off a big springboard.
Oh, I know the one, the gymnastics.
They bounce off the yoke and I was like, oh, I don't know, she kind of missed the centre line, she took a step back at the end, like, you know? I'm watching your man, Yuang, or whatever his name is, in the badminton, like, and I'm going about, it's just the way he flicks his wrist, Nick.
Where do you see all this?
I'm watching
on the telly?
Yeah, I'm watching the Olympics all day, every day.
Wow.
If it's not on RTE, I'm watching it on Eurosport. Mm. I was watching a fella, I don't know what I was watching. It's the one man kayaking down the hill against the waves. Right?
One man kayaking down...
They're going down the water.
Yeah.
Down the water
like
in the kayak.
Water rapids,
yeah. And then you have to go through all these gates, like, you know?
Oh, I know the one.
And I'm saying, oh, jeez, Nicky's after getting caught in the way. He definitely lost 2 seconds there. Like, we're all experts all of a sudden. While I'm sitting down eating a Viennese.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm after a wolf in a dinner eating a Viennese and going, ah, he's after making a hames of that there, like, you know? In a sport that I've literally watched for the first time in 4 years again. That's what the Olympics is all about. We all become massive experts again. But in terms of Mona... It's To see, I've seen an Olympian in real life, her, and it is a different thing altogether, Ray. We are not the same specimens
not
as they
the same.
Are.
She's a different completely. Build of a lady.
And what's great is, like, she's doing it really for the love of it, like, and she fell out of love with it for a while. Like, bar the fact that, so she got probably a scholarship to go to University of Tennessee and to pursue a brilliant education there, you know? Yeah, yeah. Like, she will most likely stop swimming after she's left college, you know, professionally.
Yeah.
So she's not making huge money out of this. Like, this is literally the love. That's what the Olympics is supposed to be.
But it's an awful commitment, isn't it? Apparently, you can't throw a drink pints. You can't have takeaways. I had a burger and chips this evening.
Unbelievable.
Very tasty one.
Mona McSherry hadn't had a takeaway since she was 11.
Can you?
Do you know that? She got Roberto's when she was 11.
And that's not.
That was the last. She got a battered sausage and a curry chip. And she hadn't touched that since. You know that?
But would you think now, like, is she doing more? I have questions.
Go on.
Does she have more races now? Is she going to do a smell? Is she going to do a Michelle Smith?
Something spelled Smith. There was.
Is she going to, can't she, like, could she get a goal yet?
No, yeah, she's racing. Well, what's the other disciplines, Brendan? 200 meter breaststroke heats are tomorrow. Okay. So she's not done yet.
She's not done. She could come home with a gold.
She could come home with something else. Like, she could come home with. Is that the only other one she's doing? I think that's her two disciplines. Yeah. So she's not done yet at all.
Yeah.
But, like, she put up a picture last night of her lying in the bed with a bronze medal, the first Irish winner this year. Like, she's from County Sligo.
It's mighty.
And there's a boxer.
You know her.
There's a boxer boxing, I think, tonight or tomorrow. Aoife O'Rourke is from Castlerea. Like,
yeah.
Do you know? That is what the Olympics is all about. It's unreal, Ray. You have to get into the Olympics. Now, I mean, there's some controversial moments. Did you hear the crack with
I was going to do Brendan's bits.
Oh, did he send something
Brendan
on to you?
Brendan sent it on to me. We'll do a little bit of Brendan's bits. You're not going to put it in the video.
No, not at all, because I couldn't be asked. Brendan's
bits. Olympic broadcaster Eurosport has removed Bob Ballard. Is this what you're talking about?
Oh, I was talking about a different thing altogether.
Oh,
but
well,
yeah. They removed him because he said, the girls be putting the makeup on the whole time. It was such a father
tentative
thing.
Well,
to say.
The women just finishing up. You know what women are like, hanging around, doing their makeup. Gone. Cancelled. Over.
Honest to God, like. So gone, cancelled, over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, your man was making an old little joking.
He was.
Like, we'd all... And that's not locker room talk.
No,
like,
he's not. I think that's simple enough.
It's very simple.
Very, like, PG American humour.
And also, he knows that he's messing when he says that.
Yeah.
Like, he knows he's being really simplistic.
But it's also factually correct.
Well, they would be after doing the makeup, right? But, like...
Sorry, I'm only joking. Well, that's me gone now as
no,
well.
No, but, like, the thing is...
Nice run.
I'd love to say to them, like, so... Like, if you listen to... I'm awful droopy. If you listen to any commentator in the Olympics, like...
Yeah.
They are just absolutely amazed by the level of athleticism that's going on in front of them.
Well, I should well expect
so he's
athleticism.
Not going, will you look at all these lovely... Of course, they all have lovely bosoms. That's not what he's saying.
No.
He's like, look at these brilliant athletes.
And then
you know yourself now, you wanted the makeup done. Like, because it'd be the same as, like... If there was a fella swimmer, like, would you be offended now? Ray's a swimmer. I know I'm looking at you now, it's different now, but
I could be a swimmer.
I know this is absolute just fairyland, but just imagine this. You're ripped as a bull.
Right.
Imagine that.
Right.
You're a swimmer, right?
I'm there.
And imagine you have a full head of hair. You can't believe it.
Why does that? Why? Why do I need a full head of hair?
I'll tell you why in a second.
Okay.
You win silver in the 100 meter breaststroke.
Savage.
Right? And then someone in the commentary says, unbelievable feat. A man from Killala County Mayo, lads, has won silver in the 100 meter breaststroke. And look at him. And then they say, I have to say now, the man, he always keeps his hair well, doesn't he? He always has the hair stick back. He loves the hair, Ray. Yeah. Fair play to him. Would you be like, excuse me, I am a professional swimmer.
No.
Do not talk about my hair
ever.
Do you know? So...
A bit of an overreaction.
Like, me
it?
And you talking about this doesn't really mean that. Like, you have to ask the women, really. But I can't imagine that it was that
sure,
offensive.
What would we know?
But the problem is, what would we know?
Yeah,
Ray?
we're a very, chauvinistic.
We're just two cute guys.
Two cute guys.
We're two cute guys who love all women.
Trying.
Ray. In fact, I
what was the bit you were talking about?
So the part that I was talking about, did you not hear about the opening ceremony?
Oh, apparently it was terrible.
Yeah, no, the opening ceremony was class.
Oh, I heard different.
Yeah, no, I thought it was deadly.
I heard everybody, I seen a point of view video of a fella that had paid €1,600 to attend the ceremony. And apparently they sold seats along the Seine, which is the river there in the Paris.
They did.
And he was just sitting there watching boats go by.
Well, that's where everyone was.
Yeah,
the boats.
But that's shite.
Yeah, but I mean, the one thing I will say is I wouldn't pay any money to watch a boat go by, to be honest.
And granted, it's full of athletes, but I mean, it's shite.
Unless Shane Lowry's on it. Like, I'm not. That's the thing. There was obviously athletes on it, but I wouldn't have imagined it was very good to watch there.
No.
It was a brilliant television
spread
spectacle.
Out. They had Celine Dion up the top of the Eiffel Tower. You couldn't see her.
You couldn't see her, but they had, and you know what? I wouldn't mind, but she was up there for 6 days, right? She had no way. No one told her.
And then you had a metal band called Gojira.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Like an Annie Irish was band. Headbanging to that.
They were on little outcrops of a castle.
They were.
Tied to the wall.
They were, man. And I wouldn't mind, but there was another woman, I think, who sang the French national anthem on top of like a
Lady
massive,
Gaga.
It was Lady Gaga sang some kind of... cabaret song or whatever. Okay, Lady Gaga's brilliant. No, I have to hand it to Lady Gaga.
She got a bit of criticism about the whole thing as well.
But what's she supposed to do? She only singing a simple old song.
She only
song,
got booked for a gig, so what can you say?
So if you got booked for a gig.
One of Ireland's top premier number one wedding bands also playing at the Olympics this year. I believe Hot Fuss are out there.
Hot Fuss are out there doing
They were on the Eiffel Tower as well. They were a couple of floors up.
Now they got stunted. They thought they were doing the opening ceremony as well.
No, I do remember the video when they announced that we're going playing the Olympics. That's very nice. Yeah. And then I see another video of a couple getting engaged and they were in a pub.
Yeah, wait, is that at their gig, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, go away. Well, the only thing I'd say is that there should be an Olympics for wedding bands. Should all be allowed to go in and play.
Should be, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, on your marks, get set, jive. Here we go. And the Atlantic are coming in at 95 BPM and they're hitting a good steady pace. Hot Fuss are speeding up, but they're going to 102. Pull it back. What was I saying?
You were saying about the opening ceremony.
Oh, yeah. The opening ceremony was a class spectacle to watch on TV. Yeah. I thought it was deadly, but the controversy was around the... Did you not see, like, the mock-up of the what was the Last Supper?
Oh, they did, yeah. They apparently they mocked Christianity.
Well, they're saying... So some people are saying it wasn't. It was a mockery of some painting.
Oh.
But I think that the... French authorities, or at least the Olympic Committee, have already come out and said, sorry about that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it was, but the world went mental. Like, I saw it at the time, and I didn't really bat an eyelid. I was like, oh, look. Yeah. I was like...
More strange.
Now, the second I saw the opening wide shot, I immediately went, they're doing the Last Supper.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing there now. And it happened to be, it was part of a fashion clan that were doing their thing, but... Apparently, and I didn't even notice this really that much either.
I bet you they got an arts grant for doing that as well.
Oh, 100% they got 40,000.
40,000 euro. Put the application in 6 months ago.
They need to get rid of this money. Just give it to them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just take it.
Just take that money and away you go, lads. Apparently, it was like there was drag queens in it and stuff, which really pissed people off.
The arts grant love that.
And well, that's actually the point. That's
anything
a good point.
Any woke at all
That's what I was going to say.
We're going to say a poem on top of an ancient dolmen.
I'm not into it. I'm in the arts council. You're going to say a poem. I'm not into it. Unless you say something now, Ray, that will change my mind.
I'm going to say a poem, but it's going to be a drag queen, and it's going to be...
it's beautiful. It's powerful.
Yeah.
It's everything.
And they're going to be wearing sparkly dresses.
Yeah.
It's going to be done at dawn, and we're going to sell 20 tickets for it.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Here's 80,000.
That's it.
Are you telling me 20 people are going to watch
20
this?
20 people are
Here's
going to...
Here's 80,000. Yeah. Here's 80,000.
That's the Arts Council for you.
And come here, I want to record a very, very, like, standard, lovely album. And I have a group, there's 40,000 people that listen to me, right? But I'm a standard white man.
Not really seeing the arts quality.
That you're not seeing.
Sounds pretty lowbrow to me. Now, if you're, if you're going to sing a song that was written by fairies, you're going to sing it on a boat, off the coast of some
ancient
island.
Have I told you
island.
My pronouns? Yes.
Have you? Oh, you've pronouns.
Yes.
Have you? Now that goes a long way if you've pronouns.
Lovely.
Make sure you put them down in the form.
I will. It is theythems. this is a clip that will not be on TikTok, by the way, everybody.
No, because they'll come after us.
Yeah, all those. No, what I was going to say was the Christianity went mental, and this is my favourite point of it.
I love the way you're talking about it like an organisation. Well, it is an organisation.
Well, it kind of.
Christianity went
mental.
But
the whole, people went, it's so un-Christian, you're mocking Christianity, and oh my God. So, and what they said was, they're arguing, I didn't know, at the time I wasn't like offended by it or anything. Do you know what I mean? I was like, it's a bit weird that. But also, you have to, that cohort of people are kind of just involved in everything now. And I don't mean to put, I'm not, trying to put them down when I say this, not really, but it's a bit harmless in today's age, they kind of have to be involved in everything, don't they? You know what diversity that's going on now?
Yeah.
It's like I reckon that the Olympics, whoever was directing the opening ceremony and in charge of it, they probably drew it up and then someone said, you better get them in somehow. Brendan's gone, by the way.
Gone. We've lost Brendan.
Nothing
and
to
that
do
takes
this.
A lot to do. Well done, Mark. Well done.
But you know what I mean? It's kind of like, we better just put them in somewhere.
Stop it now. You're gone. If Brendan's done about leaving, we're probably venturing into places we shouldn't be venturing.
No. But I mean, I'm not saying anything bad there now. I mean, I didn't find it inappropriate.
Let the public be the judge of that.
And then here's the other side of it as well. So, all Christians, all of a sudden everyone's Christian nowadays. I've always been a massive Christian, have you? Oh, like, that's funny you're saying that now.
In fairness, they do see other religions, you know, making a big deal of this sort of stuff. Now, and they're going, perhaps we should make a big deal of things
now,
too.
But that's the point. I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
So when you say other religions, we're not other religions. It's just other religions.
Yep.
So other religions will see something about their religion being mocked and somehow go
that's
to detrimental stuff to try and...
Death.
Yeah, literally death.
Detrimental.
Yeah. So, and then people are like, if you did that, how come it's okay to do it to Christianity? I'll tell you why. Because... it's okay.
Yeah.
We don't really get that offended, to be honest.
No, I don't think we should. In general, as Ricky Gervais Street Centre has said, offence is something you take of your own inclination.
That's your feeling.
Yeah. And none of it else is responsible for it. And the best world is the kind of world where people just tip along and mind their own feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, that's the thing that happened there. I think there was a whole, mocking Christianity. Well, how dare they?
Yeah,
but it was because the French did it.
Yeah.
I mean, if ever there was a country over the last 1,000 years that were a little bit on the edge when it comes to mocking stuff, it was definitely the French.
Absolutely was. But that is the thing, though. Remember
Monty Python?
Oh, yeah.
You remember the French knight in the castle?
Yeah, yeah.
You smelly kniggets.
Yeah. I didn't know what you were going to say there. I didn't know what was coming.
Sorry.
Woo, I panicked. My heart rate.
Sorry.
But that's the thing as well, sure. Didn't the church years ago stop Monty Python from taking the piss out of...
couldn't be having Life of Brian on.
And then the thing is that
that's about Jesus.
So do you know what happened then in the next generation? We all just grew up and we're like, it's all right. You can make fun of us if you want.
You can take it easy.
You can take the piss.
Yeah.
Obviously, not all religions have taken up that same man, but we shouldn't be looking at that Last Supper image and going, I can't believe the offence. I am fit. We just go, oh, it's all right.
It ruined the Olympics for me.
It didn't. It's all right.
I stopped watching.
Yeah, no, I certainly didn't.
Yeah.
We're not the... us as Christians aren't the kind of people that go mental offended.
I'd like to think we're the more easygoing of the faith.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We're the most easygoing of... No, we're not.
Because...
Buddhism.
Because one of the core aspects of the faith, and I keep saying it, is...
Shameless.
Sorry.
Yeah. Shame is number one.
Shame is not...
And number two.
Shame is high up there. In fairness, they do get a lot of work on shame.
No, in fairness, shame. So you're right.
Yeah.
You're right in saying that forgiveness is the biggest mantra.
Forgiveness is key.
It's the key to Christianity. The key to Catholicism is shame.
Yeah, okay. Maybe, I see what you mean. But Christianity...
Jesus, across the board.
Jesus wouldn't be happy now if you were there not forgiving them for making that mockery mistake.
He didn't go above in that cross and not think to forgive everybody for all of us to get bitter about the Olympics.
That's it.
Do you know what I mean? That's not why he did
what he
did. Jesus,
we're touching on a lot of dangerous subjects.
But I mean, I didn't... tell me the truth that I see that offensive there.
No,
to
you
me.
Didn't.
You shower yorks to 2 weeks. Because if you want me to...
No.
I'm walking... No. That's a good... anyway, that's the crack. Galway football and the Olympics. Mona McSharry, what a woman. And there's plenty more to come. And the other thing is, Dean Clancy as well, he's not going to get the same plaudits because he didn't win.
Yeah.
He's a very, very young man going into the most aggressive sport in the Olympics, which is boxing.
Yeah.
And he got bull rushed by a guy who was very smart.
What does bull
rush mean? He was fighting this guy from Jordan who it was his third time at the Olympics.
Right.
And you could tell.
He knew the crack.
You could tell he knew the crack. He knew he wasn't as good a boxer as Dean.
Yeah.
And he knew this. I only had to survive 9 minutes up in his face.
Right.
So he just ran at Dean for 9 minutes.
Ah, okay.
And Dean couldn't box.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
And that's how he won. And if Dean could get the time back again, I think he'd...
He'd box.
And
different.
I think he's going to be there in 4 years again. He's absolutely going to be there again. Your man just bull rushed him. And that's the problem with boxing.
I'm glad now that we've learned. See, this is great. It's an educational podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know what a bull rush was.
There you go. A bull rush is when he just puts the head down and goes for you. And then you can't do what you have to do. In this instance, it'd be me talking over you over and over again for 254 episodes. You've been bull rushed, Ray, for 6 years.
Getting bull rushed.
6 years I've bull rushed you.
Our guy came in here this evening stressed out.
Why is that?
And I feel I have to get it out there. I know there's usually, we open up the episode and we chat.
Yeah.
And you tell me all the crack. And then eventually I tell you I'm stressed out about something.
Yeah, well...
I have something to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight is more of a stress thing.
Right, okay. I feel bad now if you are stressed out of your mind because...
As a man, I failed today. Yep.
What did you...
I failed. So you know the way men are supposed to...
You couldn't open a fucking tin of...
No. No, thankfully never failed in that way.
No.
So we moved at the weekend.
That's right. Big move.
We moved.
Big move.
The move has happened. I and my wife and our cat, Ula, yep. are now in a new house.
Yeah.
And it's tremendous. Laura did a fantastic job making the place look fierce homely and yep. feel fierce homely. And I very settled in straight away. Now, in saying that, I have been back in Chapel Street every day since we moved.
Have you? You have not, have you?
I have. I went back for lunch on Monday. Sean, obviously Sean's first night was Sunday night
yeah.
in the house on his own.
Yeah.
I came back Monday only to find all three bins, the burnt. Bottle bin included, were outside for the bin man. The bin man isn't coming till next week. And I was going, why is the bottle bin out? Bottle bin never goes out. It's
you
bottles.
Are shitting me.
I've seen it coming down the street.
How the hell?
But in fairness to him, it wasn't his fault because he obviously was his first time back in a while. He's been away kicking with the Bowl and Nathan Carter.
Yeah.
And he probably thought there's a good chance they might be going out. And I'm the man of the house now. I got to put the bins out.
So he did. He took initiative.
He took initiative. And as well then, again, it wasn't his fault. Laura had happened to put some extra rubbish in the bottle bin just for storage until the bin men came.
Oh, I do that.
So he opened it up and went, ah, there's rubbish in all three of these boxes.
That's
they
brilliant.
Must all be put on the street.
Because I'll tell you one thing. Our brown bin has never once been used for what it's supposed to be used for.
Oh, the brown compost bin.
Nicola, that black bin is full. I just throw it into the brown bin for now. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's never been used for anything else. No. You've got to have
an overflow bin.
Yeah, it's an overflow bin.
Everybody needs, you can't just work on two. You need something that for the big weeks when you do a house clean.
Especially with the smell of Ali's nappies. You can't leave it anywhere but outside in the bin.
Outside, away from the house.
So but there we go. Thanks a million to Barna, whoever it is, or Panda.
Well, I brought them back in again anyway. And I had lunch with Sean. It was nice. I got my little fix. And then I went over there today under the auspices of fixing some broadband issues that he wasn't aware of, that I knew of. And I didn't really want to leave him without the bit of broadband.
But why didn't you just tell him? Come here.
I could have, but I like I said, I'm trying to wean myself off.
You're weaning off each other, Ray.
I've enjoyed.
And it's desperately frustrating to watch.
I've enjoyed.
Two grown men who can't live without each other.
I like fixing things.
But could you not say, Sean, that broadband's a bit gammy there, would you just jingle the...
But I was somewhat responsible for it becoming gammy.
But you know what you do there, Ray? And I want everyone at home to listen to this.
But yeah.
That is me dusting my hands of the situation.
Yes, sir, yeah, you're right.
And going, I no longer live
yes,
there. I'm no longer responsible for it.
I should have done that, but I'm not. Look, I will wean myself off this week. It'll be fine. But today in the new house,
yeah.
right? Now, for starters, I don't know if you know this, but when you move a cat, an indoor cat, kind of an indoor cat, indoor, outdoor cat, when you move a cat to a new house, the most important thing is you got to keep the cat in the house for 3 weeks so the cat gets used to the house.
3 weeks straight in the house?
3 weeks
the
straight
smell.
In the house, COVID. There's no smell. She's a cat litter. She's happy out. She's a very clean animal. So the cat's in the house for 3 weeks. But I was feeling very bad about the fact the cat had spent the 3 weeks in the house. I thought, you're going to miss the fresh air. I certainly wouldn't miss it.
Yeah.
Do you know, if I go a day without going outside, I get a bit upset.
Yeah, well, Ula be going down to Sean as well now every fucking day.
But that's the problem. If I let Ula out
during
the afternoon when Laura's at work, she's gone.
Yeah.
She's gone looking for where she used to live. Because more than myself.
He's out. Laura gets a call. Hello, Laura. Ray's out wandering again. He's looking for Chapel Street. Yeah.
So
we saw by the back wall. he was hissing. He was hissing at a dog.
Yeah. So I wanted to try and give. Now, I didn't tell Laura this. Laura's unaware of the situation.
You know she listens. And
She does, and I don't mind her hearing in a week's time.
Okay.
But I said to myself I was going to build a structure out the back of the new house, which would allow Ula to go outside without escaping. So I want to picture it. Everybody close your eyes. If you imagine the back of the new house, there are walls on either side. So
yeah.
The walls are tight to the house, so there's nowhere to go.
Yep.
And then there's a shed at the back, and then there's like a gateway where you can go past the shed into the garden.
Uh-huh.
I was going to put up a wooden structure.
You were going to build an extension?
I was going to build...
You were going to build... Were you going to roof it over, like?
I had...
Because cats can climb.
So I needed to net it. I needed to create a 3 metre... Yeah, it's about 3 metres.
If I were you, I'd get on to Dublin Zoo because they know how to house animals.
3 metre square net cage in the back so that Ula could go out the back door and she could be outside and then come back in, but she'd not escape.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, I can do this. This shouldn't be hard. So I went up to Homebase under the pretense of buying a bin for the kitchen. I said, I've just gone up to Homebase because, by the way, wives, don't let your husbands go to Homebase because that's where they make mistakes.
Yeah, and that's where they get lost as well. I'm fucking stuck beside the toilet seat, you bitch.
I bought some cheap wood.
Ply.
Yeah, no, or just normal, just little battens.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I spent about €15 on wood, and I spent €15 on some netting.
That's what Viagra's for.
What?
That's what Viagra's for. Spend about €15 wood. There you go.
So I had my netting and my wood, and I bought some screws as well. So I was going to fix the wood to the walls, and I was going to create a net. And I went at it today. I took a half day from work, Mark.
To do this?
Because I wanted to do it. I wanted Laura to come home from work and the cat would be outside. She'd freak out. She'd go, oh my God, it's such a beautiful cage.
No plan permission extension for the cat.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. I got halfway through it. I ran out of wood. I ran out of wood and then I realised the netting was going to be problematic because obviously it comes in 1 metre strips. And it's like a 10-meter roll, but it's 1 meter high.
Yeah.
So I'd have to double over it and cable tie it together.
Oh, jeez.
And staple it to the wooden battens.
Ah, hang on, you'd be half the night.
So
I was
halfway through starting this situation, and I was doing well, but I wasn't doing that well. And then I realised I am going to fail at this. So I had to unscrew what I had done. Oh. Throw it back in the van, hide the evidence, because God knows I didn't want Laura coming home thinking that I had just, you know. I even bought a saw. I bought a little €10 saw.
Does she still? So she doesn't know that.
She doesn't know that I tried to do it. I said the only evidence is the sawdust.
Me and you are very similar in this, and we never say that. I would think the same thing as you. I would look outside and go, "That is going to be so easy to build."
Yes, that's why I failed.
In terms of me and you, we're not practical
you wouldn't
like
bother,
that.
Would you?
We're not practical.
But
like that.
This is what's worried me now. Because I tried to do something practical.
Yeah.
And we're soon going to be doing up a housing.
Nicola had a toolbox before I did, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, she was the one. Will you get the tools? Nicola, where are your tools?
Sorry, I can just imagine Nicola coming in without a tool belt on now.
Now I have it because I'm the man in the house now. Yeah, I have women to look after.
Yeah.
But
did she hand it over to you the day you got married?
She did.
Was there a ceremony?
She handed over me tool.
Did she? Did your mother bring it up for the offering at Mass?
She did. No.
And Geraldine is carrying the tool belt, which signifies the handover of the tool.
Yes, Mark is now the man of the house. Nicola has been for the last 10 years. Sorry, what were you going to say there?
We're not practical. I'm just worried now that in the process of the next 6 or 7 months, I'm going to be responsible for doing up a house. I'm going to be dealing with builder types.
Yeah.
I've dealt with them a lot in my life. I always felt, you know, not great dealing with them.
If I'm dealing with men like that,
my confidence is knocked.
Your confidence gets knocked because they're very burly, manly men.
Burly, manly men who could easily put together a cat cage if they wanted to.
Or they would have a cat cage up in. No, you wouldn't have to take a half day. That's for sure. You'd have it up in no time. And the other thing is, you have to believe what they tell you. I don't think six is going to do it.
Yeah.
You have to go, I don't even know what you're on about. So, if you have to buy six more, then of course we have to get, we'll have to.
But I see
there's no way we'll be done in 5 days. No, we'll be 6 months here.
There was a little microcosm of that to say happened this evening because I went and bought the stuff I thought I'd need for the job and realised I need double the stuff.
Yeah.
I marvelled at the prices of everything.
Yeah, and they know, you see.
And it would have taken double the time.
So. And the other thing as well is, so me and you both would get caught by that, by the going, you're obviously a manlier man than I am and you know more manly things.
And
so
I can't argue. No.
The other thing is, you double on it. You'd go, are you sure you're charging me enough now for that?
I would say that.
That's the problem. Yeah, yeah. Ray, I can't wait to tell everyone this. Ray and Laura are obviously in the process of buying a house, right? So Laura, because Ray, some of his expenditure is like...
It's like bits of wood and netting for a cat cage that didn't need to happen.
Yeah, a waste of money.
Yeah.
So Laura has clamped down because they have to pay a mortgage and ready to
Laura's
go for
now
this.
My financial advisor. She's very good at it.
She's really good at it.
She's clamped down. Things up lovely.
But Ray, like a junkie, slipped into a DM on the Kendi and Raybo page, by the way. Because he forgot that Laura would have a sign-in for Kendi and Raybo's Instagram.
Yeah.
Right? Because she would deal with a lot of social media stuff for us. Ray forgot that she found a message of Ray offering to buy something that wasn't for sale, secondhand at retail price.
I thought that would be the only way to get them to sell it.
So I don't even know the context.
It's Box and Banjo. So a band that I did the gig for in Belmullet, and they left a mic stand behind and we threatened to hurt the mic stand unless they gave us €8.
Right,
and we said we'd meet them at Tesco Car Park. We haven't met them yet. Mikey Buble job. And I have the mic stand still and it's a savage mic stand and I've been using it a little bit.
Oh!
You know, I might have used it once.
Wow.
But because I was stuck for a stand and it was the perfect height and everything, it's class. So I sent them a message on Instagram replying to obviously the conversation that we originally started. Yeah. And I did say, look, come here, any chance, rather than me dropping it somewhere so you can get it, would there be any chance I could just buy it and you just buy a new one? And for that reason, I thought you'd have to offer them what it would cost them to buy a new one, because I couldn't offer them less because they're not going to go for it.
You didn't even bargain with them, right? And you didn't said, I'm going to give you full price for this second
hand. I should have offered them more.
You should have offered them more.
Retail plus 20%.
But my favourite thing is we all got sent this picture of Ray getting caught red-handed. We all got caught. And like that makes her now think, like, where else is he buying stuff? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? He's not buying stuff with me anymore. He's obviously buying stuff somewhere
else. I got caught again. I got caught yesterday evening as well. I went for a sneaky McDonald's. Oh. I took a screenshot of something to send to Laura. It was an RTE article about something. Took the screenshot. Didn't realise that when you're in the van with the fancy car kit thing, that it screenshots your car screen as well as your phone screen.
And it showed where you
and were. And it sent her a map of where I was. And there's me, big blue dot, and McDonald's. And then... And I immediately deleted the message. Well, I deleted that one. And now, thankfully, she didn't ask me, what did you delete?
This, oh my God, this isn't, she's got to flip. But I'm so glad we're talking like this now, Ray. I'm really glad we're talking
and
like this.
I just wanted to go to Bones and Jibs.
There is definitely, fellas know all about this. There's guilt involved in some things that you do. They're called white lies, really, aren't they?
Yeah, but she's not. Like, she doesn't stop me going to McDonald's. I should have just told her I was going to McDonald's. I did tell her after I went to McDonald's.
Great.
Do you know, because I said I can't be lying to her.
No, you should have lied. Yeah. But I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
I don't think Nicola listens to the podcast, so this is good.
Oh, good. Okay. What did you do that she doesn't know about?
So, there's a battle of the parenthood going on subconsciously in the mind of Nicola's head.
Okay.
Nicola is the best mother that ever lived.
Right.
She was up with Ali at 5 o'clock this morning, then a full day's work. Then I come in here and she looks after Ali again until I'm back again.
Yeah.
She's the best mother that ever lived.
Yeah.
She probably doesn't think the same thing about me, but anyway, that's beyond the point. It's not beyond the point. So I work a lot of late nights.
Mm-hmm.
Mad late, not really.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Then I get up with Ali then at 7, usually, because then Nicola goes to work.
Which I'm delighted with. It means I can ring you at any time now.
You can, I'm available from 7 onwards, you know. So, but when I put Ali down for a nap during the day, you're talking 12, 1 o'clock. If I'm tired, I will often sleep then as well. There's something in women's heads that they cannot deal with. I don't know what it is. Nicola will never give out to me for having a nap, but it wrecks her head.
That you have a nap?
That I have a nap.
Why?
So much so, they just can't, women can't handle
Laura actively encourages me to go to sleep.
I actively encourage Nicola to go for a nap.
Oh, but she doesn't actively encourage you?
No, she would, but she just can't. So last week, I napped for about an hour.
Yeah.
And she said to me, I text you, and I text her back, and she was like, I text you like 45 minutes ago.
Oh, they're so sharp.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then I was like, sorry, I was up doing a few bits and pieces, like.
Yeah.
And then she was like, what time did Ali wake us? And I told her.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make any sense then. You would have been up with her on the, and I said to her, she was like, did you not have a nap or something? I was like, no.
You lied.
That's a white lie.
That's
really
a white lie.
I said, because I
didn't
want
to give her the satisfaction.
Because she looks at it like this, when she'll patronize me by going, I'll text her and say, just got Ali down.
Yeah.
And she'll say to me, like, okay, good night, or enjoy your sleep.
Oh, right.
Which is really patronizing.
That's really patronizing. Yeah. I was afraid you were using the word wrong there, but I'm delighted you're using the right thing.
So the last time when she was like, oh, did you go have a nice nap, did you? That's what she said.
That's nasty.
Did you have a nice nap? And I was like, I didn't sleep.
No, so you've got to the point now where you're indignantly lying to her.
Yeah, that's the start of it, Ray.
That is the start of it.
That's the start of it.
Yeah. Did you have a nice date with that young girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't know.
No, I didn't have any going any. Come here, Mark. I applied for a mortgage, Mark, and it said you spent €12,000 on OnlyFans accounts to... Having a clue what you're on about, it must be someone else.
Yeah,
that's how it starts.
Yeah.
But white lies are really good in a relationship, Ray. We need to teach you. When you go to McDonald's, I have often gone to McDonald's as well, and only for she goes, you went to McDonald's in the car?
That's the worst. Not even in the car. Yeah. I'd come in and give her a little kiss, and all of a sudden, quarter pounder and chips. And you got the munchies McFlurry, didn't you?
You got barbecue sauce.
Yeah, she did. She totally knows.
And it's unbelievable because me and you are such... babies. I didn't want to say the word I wanted to say that begins with P. P-U-S.
Because no, like that's quite hardy.
Yeah, because we'll hide shit. From, yeah. And like,
Catholicism, shame.
Yeah, shame.
Yeah, we're ashamed.
Whenever I'm I wake up from a nap,
I'm so ashamed.
I'm so
up ashamed.
It's terrible.
Does anybody else out there wake up ashamed after a nap?
I wake up ashamed all the time.
Reach out to us. You know, if you've been affected by any of the issues mentioned in this podcast.
There's husbands listening to us right now.
Yeah.
That feel the same shame that we feel. And they do stuff that they hide from.
And there's no need to it because I said,
and they're all
no
white lice.
Yeah.
But there is a reason to, because it's not worth the whole, oh, did you? It's not worth the whole, I had a nap there, did you?
The truth does set you free, in fairness.
No, because usually what happens is if I have a nap and I tell Nicola, she's like, all right, yeah. But I just know deep down she's going,
she's disappointed.
He's a terrible father. Yeah. I know deep down that for that little moment she's going.
Because obviously if you're asleep and Ali's asleep.
She'll do it. I really hope she never listens. She'll do it by, so what'll happen is I'll say to her, I actually ended up sleeping there for a while.
Yeah.
And she'd go, did you get that video done? Did you get that thing done? No? Oh, no, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, your Mickey shrinks, your bite, everything shrinks, and you go, Jesus, I'm a really bad father.
The way your Mickey is the first thing that suffers.
I'm a bad husband and a bad father.
I'm sorry, man, but you're great.
But what's the key to set everyone free?
White lies.
White lies.
Ladies and gentlemen, white lies.
Whenever your missus says to you nap today, say, I was going to nap, but I went for a 5K instead.
Do it.
And throw water all over your face.
Do it well, because they'll know.
Oh, but that's the thing.
They know.
I think Nicola knows I had a nap that time, that day.
Yeah. Of course she does.
Tell Laura not to tell her, because I know. Laura, don't tell her.
I won't. No.
Please, Laura. Yeah.
Do you want me to get into the bits?
The truth will not set me free.
I have some bits.
Go on.
So, first of all, and I'm just going to go in the order that they are on my notes.
Okay.
First of all, a shout out, Conor Lavin.
Oh, I have a shout out as well.
Good lad.
Conor Lavin.
Is it the same fella?
No, I'm just saying you do yours.
Oh, Conor Lavin, he's in Driving Diggers in Vancouver.
Wow.
And he is flat out listening to all the back episodes and is enjoying it immensely.
That's great. Conor, so, boy, fair play. Conor, watch. Wanted to scare him when he was right. You're saying he's driving diggers. Connor, there's two people. Connor. Yeah. Oh.
Did you have a shout out?
I did have a shout out, Ray. I was supposed to do this, I don't know how long ago. So much so that I had to put my alarm to go off right before we recorded.
To remind me
to do this, because it's about a month. I don't know if they're a boy band.
Okay.
I don't know what they're trying to achieve by this, but they're called the Avenue Boys.
Okay.
Keelan and Dermot out there, a big shout out to the two boys. They said, write down where the Avenue Boys. Either you're a bad gang.
Bad gang. Or
you're about to burst out and go, everybody.
Because you know the way in Sligo, people are either from the hill or they're from...
Oh, they must be from the Avenue.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because I immediately thought the Backstreet Boys when they said the Avenue Boys.
Yeah.
I was like, did they do like...
Yeah, but the Backstreet Boys very similar. They were from a place.
They were from a place, the Backstreets. That's what it is. They're probably... Oh, they're from Tracy Avenue.
Maybe.
I'm only after realizing they're from Tracy Avenue.
Now you have it.
So they're actually, I said that wrong. It's supposed to be said, but like the Avenue Boys.
Yeah.
That's what it was supposed to be said.
I have a child question for you.
Go on.
So I was walking back from a place the last day.
You were.
And I was coming up to the pedestrian bridge here in Sligo.
Yeah.
And I seen a mother and a little boy walking towards me. And just as they come off the bridge, so I'm walking along, minding my own business, observing what's coming ahead. The boy tripped and fell.
Yeah.
And the mother went to grab him. And picked him back up. And you know the slow cry that kids do have?
The one that where there's dead silence right before.
It's dead silent and you see the face beginning to warm up for the cry. And then all of a sudden it hits.
Yeah.
Just as the cry was about to hit, I heard the mother trying to deal with what had just happened. And I'm just wondering, from a parent's perspective, do you do this?
Yeah.
Instead of consoling the child, she started pointing out where the child had gone wrong. Oh, it was definitely your shoe there now that caught you there.
Oh.
I seen it there. You tripped her and the young fella's crying. It was definitely a trip. Your shoe caught you, so it did.
Yeah, she went straight into forensics as well. Like,
yeah.
She started cordoning the place off and everything.
So the child is obviously losing his mind because he's sore.
Yeah.
And she's going, it was your shoe. Yeah, you fucked that up.
So then. Here's the thing. There is times when I want to lose the head with Ali when she's going mental and in a face or she's crying like that or something.
Yeah.
But
throw
really,
cheese at her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but cheese works.
Have you
Why
seen
would
that?
You say throw cheese at her? Because that would work.
No, it was a TikTok thing. You get easy singles. And literally, if you have a child
lands
crying,
on your head.
It lands in your head. And they're so shocked at the fact that there's cheese in their head.
I have literally seen that video as well, but that's
really
not what
good.
I meant. I meant that, like, usually a lot of stuff with Ali is just fixed by just giving her cheese.
Oh.
And she's like, lovely, that'll keep me going.
This is what cheese
while.
Works.
I would try that. I've seen that video as well.
If
though.
I had cheese with me that day, I would have thrown it at the child. Absolutely.
Well, the thing is, Ray, you know, people say like, oh, let them cry or whatever.
Yeah.
I find that very hard.
Oh, I know.
I would find it very hard to let them cry.
Yeah.
And like if your child falls over and is crying, But usually, if Ali falls over, she will look up at me.
And you laugh at her.
No, I'd usually go, yeah, I'll lead you, Che.
Yeah, oh, good. And I'd
pick her right up onto her feet.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday, she fell like and got a bump on her head.
Yeah.
She was clearly hurt.
Concussed.
So I picked her up and held her and rubbed her and hugged her until she didn't want to. That's what I would do.
You're still a shit father.
I am.
We have to say congratulations to Ben Callow and Ashley, soon to be Callow.
Oh. So
Ben was the lad that sent us the whiskey at the time.
Oh, yeah. You're engaged.
Yeah, he asked Ashley, what about you? And she said, yeah, sure, sound.
Lovely. Whatever. Make sure you get onto the Atlantic.
He actually said that he'd be looking for a wedding band, Atlantic. And he also said, well, can you bring Buzzy with you?
We'll bring Buzzy with us. No bother at all.
Yeah.
£800.
Bands are gone.
Bands are dead. Bands are dead. About the Atlantic. We can't do that wedding. Sorry about that.
No. Sorry. I seen a really interesting tiki-toki where some British music journalist said that he had done a bit of research.
From the 80s to now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He went back and he looked where bands were number one in the 80s. In the first 5 years of the 80s, 146 weeks were a band number one in the charts. In the 90s, there was in the first 5 years of the 90s, from 1990 to 1995, there was 141 weeks where there was a band number one. And in the 2020s, which is this decade, there were three. And out of those three, I think one of them was a BBC Live Lounge, something else, and Little Mix. Little Mix was the most banned that there was.
I mean, a band? I guess they are bands.
There's a big debate about that now in the comments. They are a band. There are people together making music.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They're banded together. Yeah, okay.
But isn't that shocking?
Yeah, so why do you think that is, Raymond? Do you think it's because music is shit? No, it's not because music is shit. I'm only joking.
Everybody's going out on their own. It's a bigger version of the one man scene in Sligo. Like, it's happened in Sligo. Yeah. Everybody's in one man bands.
So I'm like Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
You have.
Do you think it's record companies? Because there was a time where record companies, the more than pubs, would pay for bands, right?
Yeah.
They go, yeah, don't bother at all. We'll give you $6 million. You have to keep the four of you going.
And it's the same thing with technology. Robbie Mazzell said it. He said, your man can slap a backing track on there and hit away.
Yeah, but.
So you don't need the bands anymore.
But I bet the record companies are looking at them going, come here now, we've only $1 million tonight now, so can't afford the whole lot of you.
Yeah.
Do you know?
That's what's happening. And Billie Eilish is going, it's all right.
It's all right.
Because your man, Theodore, or whatever her brother's name is, he's after jicking up the oak on a CD.
Yeah,
don't
worry. Backing track.
Slap it in there to the stereo player, put a mic in front of it, and away we go.
Yeah.
That's the problem, you see. All of these things that are being made now, all these, like Taylor Swift and the boys.
Yeah.
Did Taylor Swift have a band with her on the road?
She does.
Yeah.
A very good band.
So when she's recording the songs, though, they can either get a session musician, which would have happened years ago.
I think they do.
She probably does, maybe.
Yeah, she does get it. She has people she works with.
But if you look at Billie Eilish.
Yeah, session musicians.
Yeah, she, well.
But
she,
there's nothing wrong with that from the Motown perspective. No, loads of session musicians.
But Billie Eilish, she recorded them all with her brother, Phineas.
Ah, okay. Phineas, why do you keep changing his name?
His name is actually Phineas. I thought his name was Theodore. It is Phineas.
Okay, fair enough.
And he records all the stuff in a room, and they just recorded. Like, he'd slap this microphone, and then that'd be a kick drum for him then.
Lovely.
Do you know? Anyway, so they're all, a lot of time, they don't need bands anymore, you know? And actually, it's funny, the Irish scene has gone the other way, Ray.
Loads of bands.
Did you know that, Ray, about the Irish scene?
I didn't know it.
What I'm telling you is, you know, the country artists, obviously some of them are still massive, you know, but a lot of the one-man country artists are now gone, and it's gone to the bands, like the Tumbling Paddies. So they're all following bands now.
That's nice. In
that scene, instead of the individual.
Yeah.
So it all comes and
goes.
You know, and the thing about it is, back in the 80s, there was brilliant bands. No one cares about them anymore. Now, they're all trying to copy their sound in the studio, and they will, and they'll get away with it, and it'll be marvellous, and I won't like it, but everyone else will. And what do I know? I'm just an old, cute guy.
Guy just trying to get on in the world.
That's all. That's all I can ever do.
Do you think I saved the two screenshots that I needed for the next piece?
No, definitely not.
Laura got, she received, I'll find them here now.
Go on.
She received some very unsettling messages at the weekend.
From?
From a fella called.
I guarantee I know what he wants. Mm-hmm. I would be your sugar baby daddy fella. Send me foot photo.
No.
Oh.
It's an Irish number, and there's actually a picture of him, as you've seen.
Dad, don't show that the old you do.
No, but I will show him.
Show him to me now.
Who is that individual? That's right? What age of a man would you say he is?
59. Yeah.
Right. A 59-year-old, not a hair in his head. He says to Laura, all of a sudden of a morning, nice to be able to get a good BJ to get the day started. Get it up and up and going. Then he rang her. Right? And then he asked her, will I bring you coffee or latte or cappuccino?
He thought he was texting someone else. It's not a scam. He thought he was texting someone else.
And then he sent a blurry image of a McDonald's.
I thought you were going to say No. Would you have a sucky out of this, or no. Will we read the first text out again?
Okay, so does this come out of nowhere? It's from an 087-335.
No, don't read.
Why? Should this fella text to my wife if it's Saturday morning?
Ray, you don't know if he knows he was supposed to be texting her. You couldn't. Right. And you're about to read out his number.
Wait. I get you.
So don't show his face either. He could be innocent. Like.
Okay. I'm with you now. So this is actually could be someone who just happened to type in the wrong number.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh. The stuff that Ray doesn't let me say, and he was about to show everyone.
This fella, right, is after getting with someone. Yeah. Right. A person.
And they gave a number.
Has tipped out for the morning.
Yeah.
To get the breakfast, but decided to write to them and say, nice to be able to get a good BJ to get the day started, get it up and going. So that fella was texting the person saying, fair play to you, that was a lovely start of the morning.
Yeah.
And then going, will I bring you coffee, latte or cappuccino? And then finally says, or breakfast with it too, because he bought the McDonald's. Wow. We didn't see this at all.
I half saw that.
Yeah.
You just saw someone going, I must text Ray's wife. That's what you saw.
That's what I thought it was. But it was actually, oh, that's really weird.
So he thought he was texting somebody else.
Yeah.
And please, I mean, we shouldn't even be calling them.
Oh.
We definitely have to block all do of we? The, every time we've said that name, we have to take it off.
But do we either?
We definitely
shooting
do.
The name
and the
of
good
God
news
is
that now that we're talking about it, they know why there's been so many blanks in the whole episode now.
Okay.
We can't, because people might know him.
That's going to ruin
he
my life.
He just met someone, male beats. Or female.
Yeah.
Someone had a good sucky house, yes. And he tipped off down then to get a coffee.
He did.
And he's really nice. He texted and said, you know what? That was a lovely old sucky house with now. Did you say two sugars or three? That's what he's doing.
And he's giving them all the offers. Coffee, latte or cappuccino.
Yeah.
And then he offers a Mickey D's is ready.
Well, he had a Mickey ready. Yeah. He had a Mickey D ready to go. He had a Mickey D right ready to go.
That explains it now. And Laura was very put out by that Saturday morning. But now I can go home and explain to her.
I can't believe that.
She should have replied. Okay. I'll take the Mickey D's, please.
I think we better move on for for reasons of we might get in fair trouble with solicitors, lawyers, okay. all kinds of stuff.
On.
Let's get on.
We'll move on. The Trendy Kendi poll.
Oh, my God.
You were fairly slaughtering that.
Yeah.
I believe we got over 1,000 votes. And 1,100 to be exact.
And 1,000 people
and
were
out of
me.
The 1,000 people, or 1,100 people, 50 said you looked well.
I was one of them, so 49 said
so,
that.
So can I ask you, have you learnt anything from this?
I have learnt.
What were you wearing, just for the people who didn't see it?
I was wearing a pair of cargo pants, a white sock, a slider, and then I had my cargo pants, I had my t-shirt, which was a Boston Graphic t-shirt, tucked into my cargo pants, pulled up to my nipples.
Yeah, you looked silly.
And it was not a joke. I will tell everyone that now. I wasn't joking when that
That's
photo
just
was taken.
What you're wearing.
That's what I wear in the house all day, every day.
Right.
And if you don't like us, I got a bitch to marry me. So who cares?
Yeah, you did, in fairness.
Now, she did take that photo and tell me, what, look at the head in you?
Yeah.
And she will often say to me, I can't believe this is what I live with.
Yeah.
Joking, kind of.
And you're a shit father.
And I'm a shit father.
The theme of today's podcast.
A whole lot worse.
It's almost, by the way.
Yeah.
It's almost upon us. The live show.
Oh, the live show, ladies and gentlemen, is next week.
Next week, yeah.
Next Thursday night at 8 p.m. There is still some tickets available.
And don't forget, if you come in early into Maeve's bar.
Oh, yeah.
Bob may have put a pint behind the bar for you.
No.
So you have to go up and say, Bob has put a pint behind the bar for me, and you get a free pint of White Hag if you're there soon enough. Otherwise, you'll just be charged.
So when the keg is gone, it's gone.
Yeah,
but
the keg is gone.
If you go up to the bar and say,
Bob might have put a pint behind the bar for you.
But if you go up and say, Bob put a pint behind the bar for me, to
you
the
get
bar
a
staff,
free pint of White Hag.
They might go, someone else drank it. That's how you know the keg is gone.
Yeah, someone else drank your pint. Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah, we've heard them. And thanks to the White Hag Brewery, who have got their own gig coming up, the Hag Extravaganza Festival on the 10th of August. And that's definitely worth going to.
I'll tell you, the Bank Holiday weekend is lined up to be a right belter of one, Ray.
That's next weekend.
Oh, yeah, sorry, never mind. The weekend after the Bank Holiday, I'll tell you one thing. I'd forget about that Bank Holiday weekend if I was all you.
You can't, because Whiplash Festival is on the Garavogue.
Yeah, I'd go to maybe that, but I'd say go home early.
No, well, you can, because it's over 11:30.
Yeah, I'd say pay in and then tip home and be ready for Thursday night when you go to the Kendi Arabia podcast live in the Garavogue at 8 p.m. with Carl Spain as the special guest.
Yes.
And that means that because you're all going to sell that show out and buy the tickets if you go into the link in our bio or if you go to Ticketmaster.ie and search for the Kennedy Rabo podcast live show, that then means that there won't be an episode next week out.
No.
So you'll have to go to that show.
If you want an episode next week, you have to come and see it.
There will, you will have to go and see it.
Now, we will put it out the following week.
No, we won't.
The live show.
Yeah, but don't pretend anyone that at all now because then it means they have to go. And the crack, you won't believe the stuff that we're going to talk about and that'll never be seen by anyone ever.
Fairness, there are quite a lot of the live show doesn't get put out.
No, that's true. Yeah. What happens at live shows, so any of you that have never been to a live show, ye get the live show then put up to all of ye.
Yeah.
Then usually a week after. But we get too giddy at, sorry, I get too giddy at live shows and say stuff that definitely can't make it in.
Yeah. So if you want to see that.
If you want to see me make a bollocks of myself, come to a live show next week. Yeah. A big shout out to the Sligo Show for letting us use their room here in the ATU. A big shout out to Brendan for flicking the keys clean off himself as well.
And Maeve's Bar for giving us the money to do it.
Woo! Ray, fair play to me.
Fair play to me.
Good luck.
Good luck.
The Kendi and Rabo Podcast, sponsored by Maeve's Cozy Front Lounge and the Garavo.